and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope everybody is having a blessed day today. And how are you doing today, Dad?
Oh, wonderful, Austin. I got to run over to Tampa today and deal with the traffic on Interstate 4, which is always just a real pleasure. And I basically got back on time for the show, and so I'm excited, man. It's a beautiful day today. No chemtrails, but we want to bring Dane Whittington on because he really has a lot of new information on Global Watch as far as what's going on with the chemtrails. And so I think I'm going to give him a call, see when he's going to be available. So I wanted to do that today. In addition to that, I want to cover you some statistics real quick. Somebody sent this to me today, and it's called the Pharma Death Clock. And it really gives you a lot of information on what's happened in the United States since January 2000, for the last 17 years, as far as how many people have died because of drugs, et cetera. In the last 17 years, since January the 1st, 2000, 17,620,779 people have died from chemotherapy. Not died from cancer.
Golly.
Died from the chemotherapy. The iatrogenic deaths, which are basically caused by doctors who make mistakes, 13,813,000 dead. Hospital errors, 7,700,000 dead. Bed sores, 2 million dead. Hospital malnutrition, 1.9 million dead. Adverse drug reactions, 1.8 million dead. 563,000 surgery-related deaths. Serotonin reuptake inhibitors, 704,000 deaths. Hospital infections, 1.3 million. Medical error, 1.7 million. Superbugs, 400,000 dead. Prescription drugs, 400,000 dead. This is unbelievable. Benzodiazepines, 122,000 dead. I mean, opioids, 286,000 dead. Antidepressant overdoses, 68,000 dead. Guys, you know, when you have 68,000 people die, that's like a football stadium that's filled with people from a college, university, everybody dies. When you start having 17 million dead from chemotherapy, that's insanity. I mean, those numbers are so big that it's almost impossible to believe. I mean, this is some crazy stuff, guys. What do you think, son?
No, it really is, man. It's sad. When you start looking at those numbers and you start combining them like that, even if they have been over the last 10 to 15 years, those are still huge amounts of numbers, like you said. When you start talking about 60,000 people have died from a specific class of a drug, that's a giant football stadium. People just dead. I mean, you know what kind of coverage that would get if a giant football stadium of people just died all of a sudden from taking medications? That's huge. But see, Big Pharma doesn't want anybody to hear about this stuff. That's why they cover a lot of these numbers up. That's why they don't go over the adverse drug reactions that people get a lot of times with them. And they try and push this stuff on people as aggressively as possible. And it's sad, but I mean, that's what we're here for. That's why we're trying to give you guys the unbiased, natural information that we have and different options with supplements and different nutrition advice that we can do through the website and through the radio show, because we don't have to live like this, guys. America does not have to be the sickest country in the world with the highest insurance rates in the world. It doesn't have to be like this. So we're glad to have you with us, and thank you guys for all the support and the emails that you give us on a regular basis. And, yeah, that's why we tell you guys, give us a call if you got a question about this. If you're willing to learn and you're willing to make changes and you want to work with us, Health Masters is here, and that's what we do on a regular basis, Dad.
That's absolutely right. Because, guys, think about it for a second. If these numbers that I was sent today, which I have not personally vetted, I will say that, you know, we need to realize something. These drug companies are making billions and billions and billions in profit while these people that we have in this country are dying by the millions. I mean, this is not okay. I mean, the chemotherapy number blows my mind. 17 million dead from chemotherapy. See, a lot of people don't understand is when you have cancer and you do the chemotherapy, it shuts down your immune system. And so they may give you 90 days, 120 days, a year, 2 years to live. Sometimes you start a chemotherapy and you're dead in 2 to 3 weeks. You're dead. You just die because your body cannot handle the chemotherapy. And that's the numbers of these. That's what these numbers are reflecting. And what's also interesting is this. I remember I had a friend of mine years ago. His name was Richard. And I'll never forget this story, Austin. I talked about this a couple of years ago on the show. Here's what I found. I found that basically we've got a situation where Richard called me up and he told me that he had prostate cancer. He was in his mid-60s. This is 20 years ago. And I told him, I said, Richard, you're in your mid-60s. You're obese. You basically have the ability to change your diet and probably live a long life. But the problem is that you don't think through any of this stuff that you're doing. and you're ending up, you're in a situation that you're going to just listen to the medical professionals. And he told me, he said, well, they want to do the radiation on me. And I told him, I said, you know, the radiation, I mean, for prostate cancer, I mean, quite frankly, you know, you're way overweight. You're probably going to die of something besides your prostate problems long before the prostate cancer kills you. It's a very, very slow growing cancer. And he told me, he said, well, I'm going to go ahead and do it. They're going to put the nuclear pellets in me and do a bunch of other stuff with the chemo. And they told me I'd be fine. It's just all routine. Well, that was like in September. I sent him a Christmas card in December, and his wife sent me the letter back in January, told me he was dead within 60 days after starting the prostate problem, the protocol. Now, guys, I've heard that same story over and over and over and over and over and over. Oh, it's just routine. It's not a big deal. We do this all the time. We always do open heart surgery. It's okay. It's no big deal. They don't tell you that 40% of the people who do open heart surgery are so debilitated by the surgery, they can never return back to work. And they're considered a lifelong cardiac patient. It's very difficult for them to get insurance. And if you bring them to work for your company, it's very difficult to get workman's comp to cover them because of the problems they've already had. They forget to tell you that. Years ago, I had another man. In fact, he was my mother-in-law's, my mother-in-law got remarried after she divorced Sharon's, my wife's dad. And she remarried a guy by the name of Warren. And Warren basically came in and told me, here's what I want you to do. I've got some chest pains. They want to do quadruple bypass surgery on me. And I said to him, I said, Warren, there's a lot of things you can do other than that. You can go to your medical doctor and tell them you want to have chelation therapy done. You can change your diet. You can do exercise. You can lose weight. You can start walking. There's a whole bunch of different things you can do rather than going in for quadruple bypass surgery. And he was told, this is a routine surgery. It's no big deal. We do it all the time. Well, sure they do it all the time because they talk these people into doing this. So it was like $200,000 later. He goes into intensive care when he comes out, has a stroke, is never the same again. A few years later, he dies for real this time. He dies. That was years ago now. But the last 4 or 5 years of his life after that stroke and after the cardiovascular bypass surgery, he had no quality of life. Let me give you another example. I had a young man that I knew. His name was Michael. And he worked for me, actually. And he was basically in his mid-50s, about 56, 57. And he called me up one day and he goes, I'm in the hospital. I said, well, you're in the hospital. He goes, well, I was having some chest pain. And they're going to crack me open tomorrow and do cardiovascular quadruple bypass on me. And I said, Mike, there's natural things you can do. Oh, no, I'm fine. I'm going to do it done. I said, Mike, don't do this. And he had the surgery done. And it took 6 months to recover. Never recovered. Never could work again. Never could pick up more than 15 pounds. He was a laborer. Was told he could never pick up more than 15 pounds again the rest of his life. And he ended up dying like a year later from basically a plugged up set of arteries in his heart. His heart failed on him because his arteries failed and he got basically plugged up again. See, this is the kind of stuff that happens all of the time, Austin, that I've talked about and talked about and talked about and talked about. They say these are routine surgeries. These are no big deal. Well, yeah, just because they do it every day or do it 4 or 5 times a week doesn't mean it's routine for the person it's being done to. I mean, this is serious surgery. I mean, they're cracking you open. A lot of times they pull the heart out of the body, which completely disconnects the entire electrical field from your heart to your brain, permanently changes the personality in 99% of the people that had it done. Warren totally changed his personality. Mike totally changed his personality. And it happens all the time. And the sad part about it is nobody really thinks through any of this stuff, guys, and they just think it'll be okay. It's not going to happen to me. And guess what? It happens to a lot of people. I got to take a break for just 1 second, Austin. I'll be right back, okay?
Okay, got it right here. Well, this is pretty bizarre. We talked about before with the implants and the chips that are beginning so much notoriety, especially after Wisconsin firm basically embedded their microchips in employees a week and a half ago to ditch company badges and corporate logins. There's been all types of debate. We talked about it in detail right after it got released that basically they were chipping like 50-60% of the employees. And it was, you know, hailed this big, great thing. It's going to make it easier and more efficient. Well, the liberal propaganda piece, the USA Today, just put out an article from Jefferson Graham. And the name of the title is, You Will Get Chipped Eventually. That's the name of the title, guys. That is the header of the article they just put out today. they are doing everything they can to try and force everybody into submission into getting these chips. The first sentence in the USA Today says, you will get chipped. It's just a matter of time. And then it goes on there to basically talk about all the pros and all the benefits and how everybody's paranoid and how they go on to say, you know, all these religious activists are appalled. And then it says on here, it says, it will happen to everybody, says Noelle Chelsea, 49-year-old associate professor of sociology at the University of Wisconsin. She goes, not this year, probably not in 2018, maybe not even in my generation, but certainly that of my kids. And it's pretty creepy what they're doing now is they're trying to do this predictive programming to get everybody comfortable with the idea of getting chipped. They go on to say in here as well, they said, this will go beyond paying with your smartphone. Instead, chip customers will simply wave their hands in lieu of Apple Pay or other mobile payment services. And then they go on to just continue to talk this whole thing up. The benefits don't stop there. In the future, consumers could zip through airport scanners instead of having passports, open doors, start cars, operate home automation systems, all of it with a simple wave of a hand. This is what they're trying to do, guys. This is the next level of biotech engineering that they're trying to implant us. I have talked about it for years. Everybody can sit back and say, well, I don't want to talk about that. That's too negative. Oh, I don't want you to bring that up. That's too rough. I don't want to think about that. Guys, it's happening. And unless we start bringing this up as far as the really true long-term health and privacy aspects of it, not even including the religious aspects involving Revelations, but the simple fact that RFID chips, as we talked about before, they're putting out a radio frequency on a regular basis. So you're going to have this thing implanted into your skin. They've already worked with radio frequencies and causing people basically to have panic attacks, have them nausea, all these different things they figured out to do with frequency. Now they're coming in and blatantly telling you in the USA Today today, the headliner saying you will get chipped eventually. This is definitely something that I'm pretty appalled at, the fact that they're even putting this type of garbage out. But it just goes to show you how aggressive the globalists are trying to spool up their efforts and forcing everybody in order to get chipped. Now USA Today is blatantly telling everybody, you're going to get chipped eventually. Maybe not today, maybe not next year. It's a matter of time. So this is something that we have to start addressing this more, Dad.
Well, we talk about it. I mean, the thing that we have, guys, and if you'll just stay with me for a second, everybody. You know, we've got a group of topics that we have to cover from a health standpoint on a regular basis when things are updated via the internet and people start saying things that simply aren't true that make national news. We've got to step back in and say, hey, wait a minute, this isn't right. This is where we're talking statins, immunizations, those types of things. We also have to cover all of this chemotherapy and stuff on, because we're doing health also with these shows. It's not just world news. So we're in a situation where we have to maintain some type of balance in the show, and we do the best we can as far as bringing you different stories every single day that are basically a little bit different, so we can basically cover more stuff to maintain everybody's interest and to keep it all peaked. So just stay with us on this stuff, because we're doing the best we can. Because remember, we don't have a bunch of producers that are pulling out 50 or 60 shows for us every day, or 50 or 60 topics. We don't have that. We basically don't have the ability to do that. We don't have the staffing for that. So what we do is we have to do the research along with all of the other stuff that we do on a daily basis to keep the show frosty. That's why we try our best to bring you new news as often as we possibly can. That's different. And then we always try to add different things in and our take on what's going on. So just stay with us on that. Oh, by the way, the immigration services have basically arrested 32 sex offenders on Long Island as part of Operation SOAR. The Immigration and Customs Enforcement Office have arrested 32 foreign sex offenders on Long Island during a 10-day undertaking named Operation SOAR. I believe you covered some of this yesterday, didn't you, Austin? You talked about
I did. I went a little bit of that as far as what was going on with the bomb Breitbart, and also, too, yeah, what was going on with that.
This was on Fox News. So what we need to realize, guys, is that little by little, these things are starting to make a difference, the stories that we're talking about, and Trump's trying to get involved with some of these things as far as finding out who's doing all of this stuff. And what we need to realize is we can't leave it to the mainstream news to pick it up. We've got to stay frosty with what we're doing and continue to talk about this. By the way, Bill O'Reilly is now going to make his first appearance on CNN, which kind of gives you an indication that he may not be the conservative talk show host you thought he was now that he's doing an appearance on CNN. Throughout his reign as the undisputed king of cable news, Bill O'Reilly, who was fired by Fox, was synonymous with the Fox News Channel. But next month, Bill O'Reilly is set to make an unprecedented visit to one of the rivals, which he sits down for an interview with CNN's Michael Shmerkanosh. The interview will mark O'Reilly's first appearance on CNN, providing another reminder of just how much has changed for him. This time a year ago, or even 5 months ago, it might have been unthinkable to imagine that O'Reilly would be on any other network than Fox. But at the end of the appearance, Shmerkanosh made on O'Reilly's talk line show on Wednesday, and O'Reilly told Shmerkanosh he would appear on his show on CNN. It is unclear when exactly O'Reilly would go on the program, which airs on Saturday mornings. During his 21 years at Fox, O'Reilly was aggressive critic to what he derided as the left-wing media, routinely attacking CNN, MSNBC, and others for purported bias. O'Reilly has continued to play the role of adversary to much of the news media since his outsider from Fox, in the spring. Now, I want to comment on this for just a second. O'Reilly is an interesting guy because what you have to understand something is Murdoch is involved with these Sabbateans. Now, I just called it out. There you go. There you have it. These guys like to play both ends against the middle. What they do and what they've always done is fund both sides of the conflict. They like to have the banter back and forth, and they like to create as much negative energy as they possibly can. Because when they do that, it gives more energy into the dimension. This is why they do that. They control both sides of the narrative. Remember, the Rothschild media people are controlling Fox News, and they're allowing, quote-unquote, the alternative news, the right-leaning news. Now, if you start doing like Glenn Beck did, and he starts talking about the Federal Reserve System and starts hammering that on Fox News, pop, gone, done. All of a sudden, O'Reilly gets a little bit too real, pop, gone. Now, Sean Hannity was threatened with being fired a few months ago, and basically they backed off of that because they had such a blowback from it, because that he was basically told he had to calm down. Now, what everybody needs to realize is this. This media is basically being controlled by both sides. This is how it works. This is what's going on a regular basis, and this is where this whole thing's going. If we don't understand that, it puts us into a situation where, you know, we start believing the lies of the right and of the left, which basically is a bunch of lies. Both sides are lying. Because these Sabbateans are the ones that are really involved in doing all of this stuff. So that's what we have to understand, is that we have to realize that all of this stuff happens on a regular basis to all of us as far as trying to figure out what's real and what's not real. Because these guys, one thing is certain, pretty much guarantee, that they're going to lie about stuff to generate as much energy into their field. In fact, I wrote this morning, and I want to read this to you. This is something that I wrote. This is what I do. I sit up in the middle of the morning and I write stuff like this. You guys are going to get a kick out of this one. And what it does, it talks about the energy field around the planet and what's going on. And I've told you guys this before, but I kind of put it in writing today. It said that there's nothing going to happen with North Korea, that basically North Korea is obfuscation. They're basically using it as news filler to create fear. What may happen is the CIA/Mossad may detonate a nuke and blame it on North Korea, bringing in global martial law. This attack is what happened with the attack on 9/11. The Mossad, CIA, MI6. That may also have been, the 9/11 attack may have also been a mini nuke, nanothermite, or a space-based energy weapon, or a combination of all three. The towers turned to dust, as Judy Wood pointed out in her book, Where Do the Towers Go?, also known as molecular disassociation. But the world will never have a global thermonuclear war. It would devastate the CIA Mossad electronic control structure. It would be equivalent to another great flood from a technological standpoint. The Most High God, Yahweh, did the flood when every thought of every man was evil all the time. This was due to the DNA contamination from the fallen angels breeding with women. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be upon my return. Back in the days of Noah, pyramids and worship sites were built on magnetic ley lines to generate an energy field around the planet. The magnetosphere was used as a piggyback field. After the flood, the energy control grid was deactivated due to the continental shifts and the moving of the ley lines, rendering the pyramids inoperative. There were thousands of pyramids that have been found all over the planet, many under the oceans, which proved this theory. It has taken approximately 6,000 years to reestablish this complete grid. The Bible calls it a veil that has been placed on the hearts and the minds of the unbeliever so they cannot see. This veil is controlled through human sacrifice and man-made energy fields installed around the planet, examples being cell towers, wind towers, radar-based sea domes, the coming 5G network, Doppler radar, cell phones, etc. If the planet is nuked, these systems would probably be permanently taken offline because of the EMP or the Compton effect. This is not what the evil bunch wants. They want everything and everyone to be tied into the Internet of Everything so that humans can be controlled through specific frequencies, thereby ensuring maximum evil and maximum negative energy to feed these demonic entities. That's what's going on. And guys, this is the thing we have to understand. That's why you see all of this stuff, like with Fox News. And they're going, oh, what's going on with Bill O'Reilly? All of this stuff. Look what just happened with Megyn Kelly. Megyn Kelly's with Fox. Also, she decides that she doesn't want to be a conservative anymore. She starts attacking Donald Trump. It's all about controlling the narrative to generate as much energy as they possibly can into their dimension. That's what this whole thing's about. And everything else about this stuff is all obfuscation. That's all it is. It's pure obfuscation. And as soon as you understand that, everything starts to make a whole lot more sense also. What do you think?
Man, you hit it on the head with that article, dude. I've gotten multiple people that have asked me about this whole thing. Oh, man, North Korea is going to do this. They're going to do that. Oh, they're going to nuke the whole planet. You know, they're going to nuke everybody. The reason why the mainstream media is pushing this fear narrative so much is exactly what Dad just said. The CIA very well may have some type of false flag lined up with a very large bomb or very controlled bomb, something in Seattle, California. Who knows? I don't know. I'm totally speculating. But as far as us going to a total thermonuclear, just we're launching nuke warheads every direction, each continent, boom, boom, boom. Because, like Dad just said, you'd have to understand, once that happens, there's no more TV, there's no more radio, there's no more YouTube, there's no more Google. All that shuts down. So it would literally go back to pre-1900 level again. And everybody would be essentially on their own, and the strong would survive. The people that were prepared, the people that had prepped, the people that were ready to go would be the ones that would basically stay alive and be able to function and rebuild society again. They wouldn't be able to push the mainstream narrative anymore. The CNN fake news, all the garbage rhetoric that they push in USA Today, like they're telling us we're going to be chipped now. You don't have a choice. It's eventually going to happen. All that stuff can't happen if you have a massive global EMP that shuts down everything. It can't happen. So that's what I've told people. Everybody's all scared, freaking out about this whole thing with North Korea. North Korea is a giant obfuscation. That's all they're doing right now. They're using this as fear porn, essentially, to get everybody all riled up, all stirred up, staring at the news every night. As soon as they get home from work, they flip on the news and watch it for the next 4 to 5 hours and go, oh, man, I hope North Korea doesn't bomb us. Oh, man, I hope Russia doesn't bomb us. Oh, man, I don't know what we're going to do if this happens. That's the goal of what they've wanted to do with this, and they're doing an incredibly good job at it right now. So do not fall into this lie that they're trying to push. Like I said, they very well may have some type of false flag set up, or they very well may allow him to blow off some rocket somewhere and make sure that it gets somewhere so they can do it. But the level that we have as far as our defense maneuvers, and like Dad said with the space-based weapons, dude, if they don't want him to get a rocket off the pad, it's not coming off the pad. So this whole nonsense about, like, oh, we don't know what he's going to do, he's going to do this, he's unpredictable, it's complete and total lie. That's what it is. It's total and complete obfuscation from what's really going on right now. And that's why they don't want anything else to be in the media. They want all this stuff. Oh, Russia interfered with the election. We need to do this. We need to go with this now with Trump. It's all lies. That's the only reason they bring it up. So in other news, though, as well, Dad talked about this before, and apparently it's gone mainstream now. As basically this year, GMO cannabis is now a reality, and it's actually getting coverage. Dad's talked about this before, and to my knowledge, when I had basically done research on it, it wasn't, you know, anything that was had that significant of a demand. But now they've come in now, and since all these states are starting to legalize it, the GMO biotech companies are now producing GMO cannabis. The article from Reuters on biotechnology being used to lower nicotine in tobacco, the biotech company 22nd Century Group was highlighted for their work in trying to make cigarettes less addictive by genetically engineering tobacco to have less of the drug. And let's stop there for a second. These guys could care less if the cigarettes are less addictive. That's completely ridiculous, because you have to understand, a lot of cigarettes and a lot of smokeless tobacco, they add liquid nicotine to it. They add further nicotine to the entire bill that they're making. The amount of tobacco, the amount of nicotine that's in actually tobacco leaves is not that high. That's why they add it to smokeless tobacco. They add it to cigarettes. They add it to a lot of different cigars, and they make it have more nicotine than it really has. So this whole thing right now of trying to say we're going to use GMOs and biotech technology to make tobacco have less nicotine is, again, complete and total obfuscation. They could care less if cigarettes are less addictive. All they're trying to do is find another way to corner the market so they can dominate it with a GMO tobacco now that they can start growing that will further completely control the entire commodity market. Remember, they're doing this everything, guys. Corn, soybeans, everything across the globe, they're trying to affect crops. Tobacco has been a crop, a huge crop in this country since we settled here. I'm not advocating tobacco use, but what I am saying is turning around and saying we're going to make GMO tobacco now so it has less nicotine is completely and totally nonsense. Now, to go further on in the article was the admission that the company had more than 200 patents that give it the ability to increase or decrease the level of nicotine in tobacco plants. And then, at the end of it, it said, as well as the level of cannabinoids in cannabis plants, according to 22nd Century Group. So what they're doing now is they're not only just allowing this stuff to grow, they want to turn around and start genetically modifying this cannabis to increase the level of basically THC cannabinoids that are in it to an unprecedented number. They were granted an exclusive, 21st Century Group, they were granted an exclusive sublicense in the United States and a co-exclusive sublicense in the remainder of the world, excluding Canada, to patent and patent applications relating to the cannabis plant that are required for the production of cannabinoids, the major active ingredient in the cannabis plant. So what these guys basically have now is they have a free pass, including multiple patents, to go in and start massively modifying cannabis plants to either increase or decrease, their own words, the amount of cannabinoids that are in this stuff, guys. So this is something that's going to be it's something different to watch, because, you know, you guys know me. I'm not a big proponent of throwing people in prison for having a plant. Just not a big fan of it. But what they're going to start doing now, and I don't know much about it as far as the details into it, but I can only imagine if you start massively genetically modifying these cannabis plants and increasing the amount of cannabinoids and THC 3, 4, 5, 10-fold what they are, I have a feeling these compounds are going to be incredibly strong, much stronger than obviously we've ever seen in history, because they've never been genetically modified before. That may be why they tried to push so hard to legalize this stuff for recreational usage in a lot of these states. So now they're going to bring in this ultra super strain, this GMO bud, essentially, that's going to be incredibly strong, overly addictive, and something that more than likely nobody should be using, because in my opinion, GMO products, GMO plants should never be consumed by humans. They're entirely too sketchy, in my opinion, Dad.
I agree with you 100%. Oh, by the way, I've called Dave Hodges up. I wanted to bring him on today. We couldn't get in touch with him. Now we've got him back on the phone. Dave, are you here right now? Dave, are you with me? Todd, is Dave on? I guess Dave.
Oh.
Okay. Thank you, Todd. Let me know when he comes on, because what I want to do is I want to bring Dave on. I want to talk to him about McMaster's. But anyhow, so when he comes on, we'll be able to do that. Now, Todd, he wanted you to Skype him if you can. By the way, I read this article today on MarketWatch, and it's interesting. It says, why loneliness is more dangerous than obesity. It says about 42.6 million adults over the age of 45 in the U.S. suffer from chronic loneliness. It's like 15% of the population. One is the loneliest number, and sometimes it could even be the most dangerous. Loneliness is just as much of a public health hazard as obesity, if not more so, according to the research presented to the American Psychological Association annual conference last week. The research from 148 studies involving 300,000 participants showed people who had greater social connections had a 50% reduced risk of dying early. And another set of research involving 70 studies representing 3.4 million people in North America and around the world found that social isolation, loneliness, or living alone each played a significant role in premature death. Guys, what they're saying here is this. As Christians, and I'm going to put Christians back on the slide on this again, we need to realize as Christians we have a responsibility for those people who are alone. We have a responsibility to ask them to church. If you know that you have a person that you know in your neighborhood who basically a loved one has died and they're sitting by themselves in the house, invite them to church. If they don't have transportation, ask them if you can give them a ride to church. Invite them to come over and have dinner with you one night. Try to reach out to them as much as you possibly can. When you drive by their house, if they're in the yard working, just stop for a second and say, hey, Joe, how Dave? Hey, Dave. Hey, Helen, whatever your name is. How are you doing today? I just want to stop by and say hi. See, if we all do that as Christians, what it's going to do is really allow us to spread the kingdom of God through Christianity a lot more effective and help a lot of these people who are dealing with situational loneliness. David, are you with us today?
I am with you.
Oh, good, Dave. Thanks so much. Dave, I want to get your take on what's going on. Yesterday, Israeli news broke that the Israeli government was spying on the Americans again and spying on Washington again, and they intercepted emails from McMaster's to Soros stating that McMaster's was giving all of the secrets of the White House to George Soros. My first question is, why is Israeli intelligence spying on the White House? And secondly, is this more obfuscation from the Mossad trying to get rid of them, get rid of McMaster's like they did Flynn, who is pro-Iran? What do you think, Dave? I really want to bring you on and find out your take on this.
Well, with regard to McMaster's, I wrote an article 2 days ago. He is dirty. For a long time, he's been a member of a George Soros think tank out of London, and I don't have the name of it in front of me. I actually did a podcast on this, and the proof is irrefutable. He's on a membership list. So that's one thing. The other thing about McMaster's, he recently fired an employee who was warning Trump about deep state Islamic influences, and for that he fired him. Well, these are legitimate threats to the Trump presidency. So McMaster is deep state. He's a globalist. Trump needs his head examined for ever appointing him. With regard to the Mossad, I have heard that too, but I understand the Mossad got their information from WikiLeaks. And WikiLeaks did not offer it up. They got hacked into. This is what I've been told. It is true. What you just said, absolutely true. Now, you have to understand, Israel spies on America every day. This is not novel. It's just coming to light. And every day they do camouflage and covert donations to congressmen to influence voting, and they do it through third, fourth, and fifth parties. So, Ted, this is just the way that the Israelis play ball. They're masters at this. They're very good at subterfuge. So this isn't surprising. And I'll be honest with you, that part of it doesn't really bother me because it's up to us to maintain our own integrity with our government. The fact that Israel would try to compromise us doesn't really concern me because that's what nations do. They try to gain an advantage. With regard to this whole situation, you and I've talked about this before. Trump needs to line up McMaster's, Sessions, the whole crew, and he needs to get rid of them one at a time. And he needs to go into agencies like the FBI. I'll give you an example, Ted. This is something that I'm sitting on, and I'm getting more information, but I have a long time, and I mean a three-decade acquaintance, who's with the FBI, and I can't give the operational details, but I'll just tell you this. Six FBI agents, of which this person is not a part but has a reason to know, was investigating the possible use of death squads if Trump is deposed. Our whole government's compromised, so it's not just the Israelis. Our whole government is deep state compromised, and Trump needs to go agency to agency and clean them out.
Okay, now, Dave, let me ask you a question here. You're saying that you've got multiple FBI agents that you know for three decades that are saying that the Trump is deposed or taken out of office.
I know one FBI agent who told me about six FBI agents investigating the use of death squads on American soil.
Okay, explain to me what you're calling. Are you talking about roving military patrols, picking people up who are on the wrong list?
No. Executing extreme prejudicial action against them, making things look like it's a suicide, running them over in crosswalk. And the brains behind this, at some level, involves the CIA.
Man, it's always the CIA, it's always the Mossad, isn't it? It's those two are like brother agencies that work together trying to enslave the entire planet. What do you think?
Well, this is why John Kennedy wanted to break the CIA into 1,000 pieces. I mean, it's not any different now than it is then. In fact, actually, you could argue it's more entrenched. If you want to find who are the biggest facilitators of child sex trafficking, drug running, gun running, it's the CIA. Look no further. They coordinated the alliances between the Mexican drug cartels and the terrorist groups Hamas and Hezbollah. And they did it 11 years ago. I published this 5 years ago with documentation. The CIA is not an American organization. Now, they do carry out some superficial American duties with personnel who don't get into the slime. But the nuts and bolts of the agency's mission, it's a globalist enforcement arm for the global elite. That's what the CIA is, and it's exactly what the Mossad is as well. But one would argue that the globalist interests of the Mossad are probably a different flavor than that of who the CIA serves.
Wow, so you're saying the government's basically corrupt to the core. You know, Laura Ingraham just said, she dropped a bombshell, and she said that many Republicans want Trump to fail. Why is that, Dave?
Because they're on the take. That's why. They don't want health care because they're getting greased by the health care companies in one form or another. So they're not going to bite the hand that feeds them. You know, what we got with Obamacare was a shift away from accountability, where the HMOs and the insurance companies could be held accountable, to basically where they can do what they want. And you had essentially the 13 major health care companies go to four under Obamacare. Now we're still 13, but the four picked up the bulk. Now what they want to do is go back and erase all the progress that Obama made. I can't believe that I'm saying this, but see, Obama did a couple positive things. You get to insure your kids until they're 26, and in this economy, that's necessary. You also can't be disqualified from treatment because you have a pre-existing condition. These things are coming back. There, in fact, if Trump Care would have passed in this latest round, we would have had pre-existing exclusions and a whole lot of other chicanery in this health care bill that Obama got rid of. The Obamacare bill was better than the Trump health care bill.
That's sad, but it's true.
I know it's better.
No, the Trump bill basically, you know, was that mess that Congress was trying to pass was a disaster. Trump knew it, and that's why I'm glad it failed. I really am. I really believe that Obamacare needs to be repealed, though, and just let it go back to the way it was before Obamacare. I don't know what the big deal about this is. They're trying to make some kind of big to-do about the people that are no longer going to have health insurance, the few million people that are signed up for Obamacare, and they didn't have health insurance to start with, and everybody else is subsidizing them. Now, another question, Dave. This whole thing with Korea has just gotten me kind of disgusted, because why in the world would Korea want to nuke the United States and turn their entire country into a glass parking lot? Are they using him like they did Osama bin Laden, like they did Saddam Hussein, like they did Gaddafi, just as somebody to basically obfuscate the news with until they can go in and take away the government of North Korea and put in a central bank there, or perhaps take their gold or stop their heroin production? What is going on with North Korea?
Well, I made the central bank argument the same as you did, because North Korea is one of three remaining nations that's not under the Rockefeller banking empire. So that's a good observation, Ted. But it's gone deeper than that. First of all, people need to know, before we analyze Korea, we have to understand that they are a puppet state of China. In other words, Kim is not really doing much independently except shoot his mouth off. You know, he threatens people. that North Korea will not engage in any affirmative action without China's tacit approval, because at the end of the day, it'll be 1952 again, and the Chinese troops will have to cross the Yalu River to protect that corrupt regime. So they need China. Now, China could bring pressure on Korea to calm down, back down, but they won't. And the United States does have trade leverage on China, and for some unknown reason, well, I know the reason, but it's not known to the public, but we're not exercising leverage on China to deal with Korea. And the reason why, and this is what I think is going on right now, Ted, I don't look at the Korean threat as paramount, but when I tell you the latest intelligence report, I may have to change my mind. But let me just give you what I think has been going on. I think this is no more than a war of stupid words. You know, Trump acted like a stupid man when he spoke up and threatened North Korea. If you're going to punch somebody in the mouth, you don't warn them it's coming. You just do it. You know, and Trump sounded like a five-year-old with his fury comment. It was ridiculous. But I think he's playing the game with the deep state right now. I think he's trying to get him off his backside because he's facing impeachment from a grand jury indictment that they're going to ram through. And I think he's backtracking right now, and he's been compromised. And he's now talking war. And I don't necessarily think it's going to be war with North Korea. I think this is all a psyops designed to get the apathetic Americans who know nothing about what's going on, about 60% of us, to get into a war fever mode where we'll accept war anywhere. I have said for many, many years that I believe the Third World War will start in Syria. That doesn't mean you can't have brush fires elsewhere first. But I think the real action is going to be in Syria. It's in the Bible. Damascus will be destroyed in a day. But I'm going to give you a piece of intelligence that just crossed my desk this morning. And it's a friend of mine, very close friend of mine, who I trust intimately. And his best source, a very high-level government-ranking official, and I know the position, but I can't say it, and I hope people will appreciate that. He announced to my friend today that they're evacuating top-level personnel out of Seoul, South Korea, as we speak. Not the population. Key people aren't going to be in Seoul. And that's smart, though, Ted, and I'll tell you why. If we are dumb enough to attack North Korea, and it's a dumb move, their weapon systems are so diversified, so spread out geographically, we could not eliminate them before they could make launches. And they have a reported 10,000 missiles aimed at Seoul. Seoul would cease to exist. Casualties could be over a million. So I look at this, Ted, and I'm saying, we don't want this war. I mean, and first of all, too, I'm not necessarily buying in to the panic mode that the North Koreans have developed a small nuclear device that somehow can magically now fit inside the nose cone of a rocket. You know, all this information came out on the same day, and the mass media was broadcasting it from the same script, and you and I have been around the block long enough to smell disinformation when we see it and smell it and hear it. But, I still think there is intrigue going on in that part of the world, and let me explain why. The real action, I don't know if it's really going to be in North Korea. China has fortified the Spratly Islands. They've turned them into little mini aircraft carriers, and they have basically told 12 nations you can't sail your trade vessels through the South China Sea in flagrant violation of international law. And as a consequence, Ted, that takes you to the brink of war, and now China's causing problems with India. I first reported on that, was laughed at a month ago. No one's laughing now. And so we've got China being super aggressive. And the reason I think China's being super aggressive is their economy is in super trouble. They're trying to convert to gold. They're even advising their citizens to buy commodities. They're not even telling them to invest in their cash. They know their cash is trash, and it's almost done. So I think the real action is with China. And whatever happens with North Korea is going to be on behalf of what the Chinese military wants.
Okay. Well, also, another question, Dave. With Russia, with Putin, we know this has nothing to do with them hacking the elections. Is it because of the cryptocurrency? Or not cryptocurrency. Is it because of the dollar as a reserve currency and the petrodollar? and Russia and China trying to work together to bring in a new basket of currencies and a new reserve currency? Is that what's going on with Russia? Is that why we're putting such heavy sanctions on them, which is basically act of war?
Yeah, I wrote about this in, 2014 in Syria. Obama was doing his best to get us involved in Syria. This whole thing, we have to go back to Bretton Woods very quickly, quick history. 1944 and then again in 1946, conference in Bretton Woods said that the U.S. will have the reserve currency for the world. This is what international bankers dictated. And it had to be the U.S. because every other major country was in ruins because of World War II. So the deal was is that another nation to buy oil from the Middle East would first have to come to the Federal Reserve and purchase dollars. That gave us our only backing for our dollar since we went off the gold standard. Now, this went largely unchallenged until Saddam Hussein started secretly selling gold to the Germans and the French in the early 90s, and HW invaded him. And they let him off the hook, and then he started doing it again, and this time they invaded and they hung him, just like they killed
right.
Gaddafi for the same reason. He was undermining the petrodollar. Well, Iran forged a relationship with Russia, and this was a mistake. We should have interrupted this with our military and taken Iran down when we had a chance. But here's what ends up happening. You have Iran with sophisticated weaponry that can defend from air assaults quite well. They have nukes. I understand those nukes are under the control of the Russians, but they're developing their own nuclear program, as we know. And Iran needs to be taken down because they are engaging in a complete attempt to take down the dollar by selling oil for gold. And this is where the BRIC nations came in. This was Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. And China and Russia said, we will defend Iran. Well, we began to say, well, okay, the key to taking down Iran is to take down Syria, but we tried to take out Assad. Well, it didn't work very well because Russia's been supplying Assad with weapons and tactical, and now they've got their military in the country. The war in the Middle East that's coming, the one that's going to start in Syria, is going to happen, Ted, because the dollar is going to start diving because nations are abandoning it to buy oil, and we need to go in on behalf of the Federal Reserve and take out Syria, take out Iran, and if Russia gets in the way, we take them down too. And we're going to force Putin into a corner. He will lose militarily. If he goes nuclear, well, that's anyone's guess, and we're going to call his bluff. We're basically playing blind man's bluff with Putin whether or not he'll launch nuclear weapons for our attack on Iran. So you're right. It's about the basket currencies that are coming. China and Russia, about a month ago, signed an agreement to conduct 26% of their trade in gold. So the world is moving to gold in mass, and Europe and the United States are staying fixated on worthless currencies. And that's why everyone who's listening to me today, if you got enough money to invest, don't keep it in the bank. Keep a month of savings in the bank. Take your money out and buy precious metals after you buy food and water, of course. To buy precious metals, because that'll hold its value through time. If you're going to leave your money in the bank, it's going to be gone at some point in time.
Okay, so this I covered this the other day. I said it's almost exactly what you said, because it puts us in a very strange quandary, because the Federal Reserve has such a stranglehold on the U.S. economy because of the fiat currency that they're producing and the petrodollar and the reserve currency status, that we have a situation now where we don't like the Federal Reserve, but we don't want to have it completely collapse the dollar. So now we're in a situation where we're having to do something and move against Russia and China so we can try to stabilize what we have in this country before they do what they do and completely collapse the dollar and turn us into basically a third world mess like we did to Russia back in the 80s under Reagan. So you're like I am, Dave. We're kind of caught because none of us like the Federal Reserve. None of us like Bernanke. None of us like Yellen. None of us like what happened in 1913. But we're kind of stuck with that miserable system right now, and it's the only thing that's financing our debt. And if we don't have that system in place, we could have literally a complete and total financial collapse in the United States if we don't do what Trump's doing as far as sanctioning Russia to try to stop Russia and China from doing this. Am I correct?
I totally agree with you. See, the war has got to come with Russia. The war could come with China, but Russia's the major player here economically. They're the bigger threat. And when we look at the political and military agenda here, I think Korea is still more of a distraction. I think the real action, like I said, is going to come with China. Now, who knows, maybe this afternoon all hell breaks loose, because whenever you bring military forces together, unpredictable things can happen, unforeseen things. But I said all along, it's Syria, and it always will be Syria as far as the flashpoint for the world, because this is where the Russian ruble is turned to their currency, turned to gold, and this is where the Federal Reserve is protecting its turf. And it's kind of like all economic roads are meeting in Syria right now. And see, Hillary Clinton knew we had to have a war with Russia, because in debate number two, and this is what turned a lot of Americans off to her, she said, I will impose a no-fly zone. Well, that was a declaration of war against Russia's jets. And she right there was telling you, we're going to war over this. She was in the hip pocket of the Federal Reserve. I don't think Trump, when he got into office, fully appreciated the fact that they are a necessary enemy. And you're absolutely right, Ted. I would love to see the Federal Reserve broke. I'd like to hang them from the nearest lamppost. But if we want to maintain any semblance of our standard of living, no. I'm coming out with an article tomorrow, and I'll preview it right here very quickly. Deagle, which is a publicist arm, and they deal in arms as well, of the CIA, and their partners are Stratfor, the UN, and all the usual cast of characters, they have made predictions now for the last 3 years, and what they're saying is by the year 2024, the population of the United States and the UK will be reduced by 90% each. Now, what's even more telling, and this will tell you how it'll happen, and this relates to Korea and Syria, our military budget will be down 900% by that time. That's their projection. No other country other than the U.S. and the U.K. are suffering a precipitous drop in military budget and gross population such as these two nations. In fact, India and China actually increased up until that time. What we are looking at, Ted, is we have been set up by Obama to lose any war that we enter into. And when there is World War III, Stratford and the UN and all these groups affiliated with Deagle are calling for the fact that we're going to be decimated. And there's a TV show that kind of gets into this, but in a different perspective. If people want to know what it's like to live in an occupied nation, well, go to my article on the Common Sense Show. I put 17 things you can count on. But you also might want to watch the TV show on Amazon Prime called, The Man in the High Castle. And in this, Nazi Germany and Japan win World War II and America's an occupied nation. And I tell people, go to watch that, read my article today, read my article tomorrow that talks about all this, and you'll see what it's going to be like to live in America. Assuming you're one of the 1 in 10 people that will survive, according to the Deagle figures. And, Ted, one more thing to pile on top of this. One of Obama's closest environmental advisors, Bob Krugelig, and he was Obama's first community service mentor in Chicago before he got into politics formally, he set up a website called America2050.org. And in there, he says at the maximum by the year 2050, we'll have a country of 11 mega regions, stack and pack cities, 500 foot or less apartments, and each one will have 6 million people in it. Do the math. That's 66 million people. Deagle is predicting we'll have 65 million people. So you've got two groups affiliated with deep state and the intelligence community that are printing stuff that is telling us 90% of Americans aren't going to be here.
Well, the thing that's funny to me, and I don't mean funny, I mean from an ironic standpoint more than anything else, I mean, Obama ushered this in under the guise of the Federal Reserve banks. Are the Federal Reserve banks allowing this to happen, the collapse of the United States dollar? Are they done with us as far as extracting wealth? Is that why this is all happening, Dave? I mean, have the Illuminati groups that started the United States through the Masonic lodges, have they decided that we have run our course now and that we need to be reset and rebooted? I mean, are we not doing what we need to do anymore? Are we basically antiquated at this point so they don't want to mess with us anymore? I mean, why in the world did Obama do this? Why in the world was Hillary Clinton pushing for this? Why have all of these people allowed this to happen and now we're here with the entire system coming down around our heads? Why have they done this, Dave?
Well, it's a really good question, and I'll tell you what I know, and then I'll tell you what I think it's leading to, which is my opinion. What I do know is the Federal Reserve and their key personnel have been hoarding gold now since 2013. They started out doing it through Goldman Sachs, and Goldman Sachs ordered all their brokers to sell their gold positions on a short, and then the hoarding began, and it has not stopped. So what the Federal Reserve is saying is we're betting the economy is going to collapse and the dollar is going to fail. Now, why are they continuing to try to keep the dollar afloat will be the next question that someone would ask me. And I'm telling you, we're witnessing the last great American garage sale. They are trying to rape this country of every single financial resource it can to go into the pockets of the bankers before the collapse. They're just stretching it out as long as they can. And by the way, if you go back over the past few months, I have noted how some of the more of the elite, even Silicon Valley, are now occupying massive bomb shelters deep beneath the earth. They know what's coming.
Wow. Dave, thank you for being on with me. We're out of time. My friend David Hodges, the Common Sense Show Sunday nights, follows my show here on Global Star from 7 to 10 Eastern Standard Time. Dave, thank you again for being on with us. Guys, I want to thank everybody listening to Dave. You're welcome, Dave. I want to thank everybody listening today for support of Health Masters. I want to thank you for, you know, putting us first on your radio dial. I want to thank you so much for all of the things that you continue to do for us and pray for us. And guys, as Dave said, you know, this country's in a mess right now. The deep state is torn. We've got the Illuminati group. We've got the Masonic group. We've got the Federal Reserve group, which is playing both sides against the middle. And they're doing everything they can to extract as much wealth from the country as they possibly can before they implode the economies. So, guys, do yourself a favor. Load up on your supplements. Load up on your storable food. Load up on potable water. And just be prepared. Be frosty. Get yourself, make sure you prepare yourself as far as for self-defense. Guys, I appreciate you. Austin, I'll write the summary. God bless you guys. I love you. Austin, go ahead and take care of it. Bye-bye.
Absolutely, bud. Yes, guys, thank you for all the support. Thank you for everything you guys have done for us. Thank you for the emails, and thank you for buying your multiple through us. We really appreciate it. Be sure to check out the website at healthmasters.com, all the different kits we have on there, the Hagman Blood Sugar Protocol, the Basic Healthy Lifestyle, the Alpha Male Stack, lots of good stuff we still have always on sale. And, of course, check out the product of the week, the chelation therapy, which basically helps to remove heavy metals and toxins and also plaque buildup out of the arteries. That's on sale for over 10% off today. And be sure to vote on the other products that you want to win. There's multiple other products that are very popular right now that are being voted on. So be sure to check that out at healthmasters.com. If you guys need anything, email us or call us 1-800-726-1834. You guys have a blessed, safe night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.